Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Try to put me underground, but I'm only going high.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee, hoping all your trails are happy until we talk again later. The news is coming up next on WRCO-FM Richland Center, sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love in Spring Green, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's currently 34 degrees. That's the morning high after a low of 23 today.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest job cuts to the federal government are coming from the Department of Education. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Overnight, the Department of Education gutted. More than 1,300 workers told they're being laid off, now cutting the agency roughly in half. Education Secretary Linda McMahon saying those cuts are just the first step.
A snapshot on inflation has just come out this hour from the Commerce Department. It's a little bit lower than most people thought. Dow futures up 539 points because of that. Those numbers will not reflect the tariffs, however, on aluminum and steel products, 25% that were implemented overnight. Investors haven't liked much of what they've seen so far in the stock market. The S&P, which is what most 401ks track, is down 5% overall for the year. Militants wearing vests loaded with explosives have barricaded themselves inside a train in remote southwest Pakistan, holding 250 hostages, Pakistani security forces were able to rescue some. This is ABC News. There's a hearing today for Mahmoud Khalil, who led pro-Palestinian protests on the campus of Columbia University last year. He was picked up by ICE officials, flown to Louisiana and detained. Now he's being threatened deportation. ABC's Reagan Medji says protests continue, calling for his release.
The White House saying Columbia University is, quote, refusing to help the Department of Homeland Security in identifying individuals on campus who have, quote, engaged in pro-Hamas activity. Last week, the Trump administration announced it was cutting $400 million in grants and contracts for Columbia University because of what it says were failures to fight anti-Semitism on campus. As for today, a judge will hold a hearing following the arrest of Khalil.
The number of migrant apprehensions at the southern border continues to plummet. There used to be 1,000 migrants passing through the difficult terrain at the Darien Gap per day. There are only 400 in all of last month, a 99% drop. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Are you looking for the perfect gift or a little sparkle for yourself? Pam's Fine Jewelry in Spring Green is a full-service jewelry store with a wide variety of styles to fit every occasion. From engagement rings to timeless keepsakes, our friendly and knowledgeable staff is here to help you find something special. Stop by today or give us a call at 588-2134. Pam's Fine Jewelry, where elegance and service shine. Pam's will be closed until March 18th and reopening March 19th. The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
Mostly sunny, a pleasant day today. Highs in the low 60s. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 31. Mostly sunny Thursday and warmer, a high of 66. 44 Thursday night. Friday, 73 with a slight chance of showers. During the day, rain likely at night. Up to a half inch of rain possible Friday night.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We stand ready to help you in planning a final farewell to your loved one that is healing and meaningful. The days following a loss are never easy, but we can all find comfort in knowing we are not alone. A funeral and visitation are a positive contribution to the grieving process, providing a formal time to reflect, love, forgive, and find comfort in our loss.
The trees on your land are a valuable asset, and keeping them properly managed is a big responsibility. The staff at Meister Log & Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team will help you meet your timber's potential. A win-win for all, as landowners receive green for the logs and Mother Nature stays green as well. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber, 608-434-4413.
The Wisconsin Supper Club tradition has found new life at Kickapoo Creekside. From mouth-watering steaks and fresh seafood to a large salad bar and perfectly crafted old fashions, Kickapoo Creekside offers a truly exceptional dining experience. Choose from the menu or indulge in the chef's daily special. Dine inside or enjoy your meal outside in the fresh air. Visit Kickapoo Creekside at 827 West Kickapoo Street in Reedstown. Open Wednesdays through Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays starting at 11. Come and taste the tradition.
Make a career choice you can be proud of. Join the legacy at Pine Valley Community Village, serving with pride for 140 years, where you and your contribution truly matter. Enjoy exceptional benefits as a full or part-time Pine Valley employee, health, dental, and life insurance, plus holiday, vacation, and sick pay. And don't forget the fun, potlucks, dress-up days, prizes, games, and more. Log on pinevalleycommunity.org and click on careers.
Bailey Paint Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
It's the 54th Annual Sales Fair at Nelson Agri Center in Viroqua. Get the lowest prices of the year, Friday, March 14th through Saturday, March 22nd. Huge savings on fencing, gates, seed, and more for your farm. Unbeatable deals on Milwaukee Power Tools. Buy one, get one specials on gallons of paint. Plus, get $8 credit towards our already low prices with the junk battery trade-in sale. Thousands of items will be on sale at Sales Fair, March 14th through the 22nd at Nelson Agri Center, downtown Viroqua.
Talk to friends from the Richland School District today on our morning show. Superintendent Steve Board is in the studio for his monthly visit, and he's brought along Lisa Brown, who is the principal of the Richland Center Intermediate School here in Richland Center. Good to have you both in here, Steve. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great morning to you. The last time I was here in January, it was snowing out and a mixture of rain and sleet and ice, and so now it's beautiful out, so this is much better.
Can we call it that you've made your last decision about a slippery start days and all those things?
Oh boy, that's the kiss of death there. I don't know. It seems like every year, you know, you get one of those wet, heavy snows in late March, early April, and you know, you just get it off the ground quick enough. But knock on wood, the forecast right now looks pretty good. We're hoping we can get through to spring break, and then we're hoping that April is just beautiful, right?
We hope,
But we do live in Wisconsin, and sometimes our hopes and wishes don't always come to fruition when it comes to the weather.
Athletic Director Laura Selgeby wants to be bored in April. She doesn't want to.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah.
Have a lot more to
just
do.
65-degree days and sunny.
Beautiful.
Every day.
Yeah. Yes. I recall one year, and I was reminded by this the other day, because Get Real is going to be happening here not too long. But that was canceled a few years ago, and that's like April 20th because of snow.
Yeah, I remember going turkey hunting not that long ago in the middle of April, you know, second season or whatever, and I'm out there and it's just a blizzard. Like, it's truly snowing heavy. So you just never know. But we need some precipitation, you know, in the ground, and hopefully we get it in nice moderate ways. So that's always the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lisa, good morning to you. How are things going at your school?
They're going great. You know, we're definitely in full season, in full force. We're getting ready. We got, you know, forward testing that's coming up. So we're trying to, you know, push through to that spring break. But we're looking forward to doing something a little bit different with forward testing and doing it before spring break. So then we can really hit the ground running after spring break. And just continue out the year. We're in full force. You know, the sun's out. It's shining. So the kids are loving it. Getting outside for recess, that fresh air definitely brings a lot into our building, not just the mud, but lots of smiles and just that ability and wanting and desire to get back in the classroom and learn. So.
Are you getting down now in the numbers of illnesses and kids out of school? Is that kind of getting down there a little bit?
It has a little bit. We still have, you know, quite a few there still being called in, but it's not as bad as it has been in the recent months. So I'm very glad, again, sunshine, the sun, the breeze, the air, everything is just what we need. We can kind of open sometimes the classroom windows. We'll see what Friday brings.
Yeah.
But I know it's nice to get that fresh air into our buildings and just kind of let it breathe.
They get to go out for recess, though, right,
mm-hmm.
on these nice days?
They do, very much so. They're looking forward to it. I know we try to get our kids out a little bit more often when we can, or even this morning on my way over here, our PE teacher had the kids outside. They're doing stuff outside. Recently, they've been doing parkour, and so using our playground equipment as more of like a parkour course, and they have to complete an obstacle. So really just trying to get them out there and using that space.
And you mentioned some testing coming up here before too long.
Yep. Then. So we have the state forward exam testing coming up. So in our building, that's our whole building. Every third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grader gets to take this. In fourth grade, they actually get to take all subjects. So math, reading, writing, science, and social studies. So it's a big endeavor. We try to break our kids into smaller groups. We provide, you know, more outside recess time. So we're really hoping that nice weather that Steve was talking about stays around so we can get the kids out and get some brain breaks. So we're really hoping that in our building, you know, we try to prep them up and get them ready to go and excited and tell them the importance of this is a snapshot and you can show us what you've learned and we want to know. And the biggest thing is just to do your best. You know, they're not, they're not given a score from any of their teachers. You know, it's just to look at how we're doing as a district and how our building is doing as well. And we've done a really nice job in the past couple of years of increasing our scores. And so if we looked at our area, we were actually at the top within our section, which was awesome to see. So we were exceeding expectations. So we're hoping to do that again this year. I know it's a lot for the kids, but again, our teachers go above and beyond in creating the schedules and making sure to recognize that, hey, we have to do our best and then we get to do some other fun things too. So we're hoping, I think third grade is starting a little bit next week, and then really the week before spring break is when everyone will be taking that forward exam testing. So we're really hoping that parents can make sure that our kids are getting to bed at a somewhat decent time, you know, getting those good breakfasts. If they don't, we will have snacks and meals provided at the school as well. But we really just want to make sure that us as teachers and students and as myself as the administrator working together, but also then making sure our parents are on board and making sure that our kids are ready to go for this and understand the importance of it too.
Do you notice a change sometimes with the time change to daylight saving time, that like that the first day or so in school?
It was a quiet Monday, I'm going to say, you know, and usually coming back from a weekend, Mondays are a little bit quieter too. I think everyone's still kind of waking up, but it does affect our kids and even our teachers too. You know, our bodies are trying to get used to the differences, but they've been doing pretty well, knock on wood. You know, we don't have a Friday the 13th or anything, so that always helps, but they were doing okay this week. So I think knowing that we have kind of some changes in our schedules and changes with, you know, time and everything, we'd really try to work with our kids and understanding like, yep, changes happen, but we still got to push through. And what can we do to kind of help you out and get there? So
Do you have an early out today?
We do have an early out today. Yep. So we're done at 2 o'clock today. And so our kiddos, either they could go home and ride the bus or they can be participating in Sting, our after school program as well. But hopefully with it being nice outside, that either Sting or if you're going home, you'll get outside and get that warm weather. I always end my day with, you know, what the weather's kind of doing and maybe what they should do to kind of give them a little hint or a little idea of, hey, get outside, you know, take a break from those screens and do what you can do out there.
Steve, I know we talked a little bit about this before we went on the air, but you had a Board of Education meeting this week, and a lot of things were talked about, including some alternate education ideas. And what did you take for that, or what would you like to say today on the show?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to piggyback off of Lisa with the Forward exam. You know, one of the things that we've talked about over the last year and a half or so on the show is the Richland School District's tremendous growth on our district report cards and going from below expectations to meet expectations to now exceeding expectations in our district and really having a positive growth. One of the big data points of that are these standardized tests. And so it is very important for our parents and our community to understand how important it is to do their best on these tests as our school district continues to try to grow and improve. And all of the things, I'm just going to reiterate what Mrs. Brown just said, you know, having a good breakfast and being properly prepared from a nutrition standpoint and also from a sleep standpoint, I think is so important for families. So oftentimes we get parents that ask us, what can we do? What can we do to help? What can we do to assist? And a lot of times they're talking in a volunteer form, but one of the biggest things that parents in our community can do is just help making sure that kids are in an environment at home where they can come to school and perform their best, especially during those weeks of those standardized tests. Get a good breakfast in, get a good night's sleep, probably a good week to put the devices away a little earlier than normal, and maybe wake up a little earlier and just really attack the day with the best of their ability. So I just really wanted to plug that. I think it's so important for our parents to hear that and continue to be supportive. And they are very supportive of our school district, and we appreciate that. So with that, then, with these alternative education options, I think that one of the things that we've tried to do over the last couple of years is really try to get away from status quo and really try to figure out how can we meet the needs of all of our students. And you and I have talked several times when we started the partner school at the East Hall building. Not all kids learn in the same way that maybe you and I did. Maybe most of the adults did, where it was a little bit more of a traditional brick and mortar, come to school, sit in a classroom, listen to a lecture, do your homework, take a test, rinse and repeat, right? There are many students that just don't do well in that kind of an environment. And so when we started the charter school, the partner school, that was really meant to be a focus of allowing students to engage in academics in an area that they were interested in really more of a hands-on project-based learning. And partner school has been a huge success. We intentionally grew it slow. Year one, we had 12 students. This year, we have about 24 or 25 students. The goal next year is to increase that to 40 students. We believe that the building that they're in right now, again, the formerly known as East Hall, that can accommodate about 55 students in the space that it has and keep relatively close to the same curricular structure that they've got going on right now, where each child kind of gets their own space, own environment to really grow and develop as an individual, and then have these community connections. We could accommodate up to 75 or 80, but the programming and some of the strengths that we've seen with a partner school would have to change dramatically, and so that's not something that we're hoping to do. But next year, we do plan on increasing that to 40 students. We've got about 17 or 18 students on a waiting list. Of course, some of them could graduate as well. So we're hoping that most of the students that want to get into the partner school next year will be able to. And then probably in 26, 27, expand that a little bit more. But no real changes being proposed to the partner school. The second alternative education program that we started this year is what we call the RC school, R-S-S-E-E. It's the Richland Small School Educational Environment. And our board approved this earlier late last summer. We've had it for the entire school year. It's essentially a school within a school at each building. And so the primary school has their RC program. Mrs. Brown and the intermediate school have their RC program. And the high school has their RC program. And these are meant for, so it's a little bit more of a throwback to the one-room schoolhouse kind of mentality. There are anywhere from 4 to 12 kids in this classroom, one teacher, oftentimes across multiple grades, where they are really trying to limit the students' transitions between classes. We know that when students get out into hallways with a lot of stimuli and transitions, it takes them a little longer to settle down, at least a certain handful of students. And so this allows them to have less of those transitions, allow them to put a little bit more focus into academics. At the younger levels, it looks a little different than the older levels. Sometimes it's used a little bit more as a place for them to check in. Perhaps they can go and get their structure of their day started. Maybe they go to an elective class with everyone in their age group, and then come back to the RC classroom for reading or math or a little smaller group instruction. That looks a little differently at each building. And again, for 25-26, not a lot of structural changes that we're proposing. That has been a good success. We're serving approximately 30 students. Again, it's a little fluent throughout the course of the year throughout our district, and it seems to be really fitting a need. In fact, we've had area schools reach out to us. They've heard about some of these alternative programs, these two in particular, and want to know if they can send some of their students to the Richland School District in a way to meet their students' needs in a way that they can't. And so I think that that's a really positive thing that we're getting recognized for. And then we've got a very little known program. It's our off-campus alternative education program. It's for students that really are unable to attend school physically in the buildings. And so we have 0.75 FTE. Right now it's made up of two teachers, Chris Mulholland and Maggie May, are meeting with students in an off-campus environment. And they are individually or small groups scheduling time with them to facilitate their education. And the proposal for 25-26 is to increase that FTE or full-time equivalency from a 75% position to a full-time position. And that'll come at a very minimal cost to the district. It's already a benefit eligible position, whether that's filled by one person or two people splitting it or even three people splitting it is yet to be determined. But I think that we've got a growing number of students who need to be educated in this manner, and we want to make sure that we fit those needs as well. So minor change there, but an increase from 75% to 100%. And then we've got two relatively big changes that we're proposing. We've talked about them at the committee level, both the curricular committee as well as the personnel committee, because it does involve some staffing changes. We presented it at the board meeting on Monday, this past Monday, March 10th, and it was done for information only. And then it will be brought back to the board on the 24th of March for action. And the first one is, again, neither of these have names at this point. And so the names that I'm calling them are just names that we're internally referring to them as, but they are likely not the final version of the name. But we've essentially revamped our Richland Online Academy. Richland Online Academy is a charter school that's been around since 2013 or 14. We've had as many as 40 or 45 students in it. And what we found was that these students in grades 6 through 12 were given a virtual option, but they were only given one virtual option. And so if they wanted to do an online platform, they joined the Richland Online Academy. They got this one online curriculum. It's called WVS. They didn't really have a lot of interaction with our local people. All the teachers were hired through the McFarland School District in the Wisconsin Virtual System, and we purchased the curriculum, and students did their education online. And it worked for a certain group of people, but what we found was the success rate was not high. There were many, many students who were not doing well. It takes a very unique student to learn in that environment because it's very self-driven and self-motivated, and they need, we found that they needed a little bit more adult facilitation in their education. So 2 years ago, we scaled that back. This year, we've only got 12 kids in our Richland Online Academy, and we scaled it back primarily because we knew that we had to make some sort of a change. And now that proposal is being changed. And the proposal is that we expand the online options. And so we're not just using one set of curriculum, but we're essentially using any set of curriculum that the parent and the child wants and that they see is a need for their child to be successful. In fact, it could be multiple for one student. So if you, as a father, have a child that you don't feel would do well in the traditional setting, coming to school in person, and you have the ability to maybe be an active role in their education and facilitate their education, you might join this ROA version 2, for a lack of better term. You may have your child join that, and you may say, from a reading standpoint, we need to have them have a textbook. They have to have a book in their hands. And so that would be the curriculum that we would get for you. But for math, maybe you find that curriculum ABC is really good, and you can do that in a virtual format. And maybe for science and social studies, it's a different virtual format. And so now, instead of having just one size fits all and one set of curriculum, we will have access to multiple types of curriculum, including the traditional workbook, textbook mentality. And so the groups of people that we're really trying to target here are, of course, we're targeting all students, but really those that are currently homeschooling their students, it would be a benefit to them because the school district would purchase the curriculum for the homeschool family. Those homeschool families, oftentimes their parents are very active and engaged in the child's education anyway. They would help facilitate that, but we would get them the curriculum and the resources that they need to be successful. District benefits, because then that student is now an enrollee of the Richland School District. There's already state laws that say homeschool students can participate in two classes in the local public school district. They can already participate in athletics and sports. And so it seems like a very natural fit that why can't we come up with something where it's truly a symbiotic relationship where it's mutually beneficial for both parties. The parents no longer have to invest in those resources, and the school district can then help facilitate that. The one thing that the school district, as a public school district, would not be able to do is any faith-based components, okay, because we are a public school. But we're modeling this off of the Nakusa School District. They have about 250 students. They were really targeting more of an open enrollment in. That's not necessarily our target goal, but they have three teachers. Each of them are facilitating about 80 students' education, and this is exactly what they're doing. They're meeting the needs of each student, helping them get the resources and the curriculum that they need. Our goal is to hire, our proposal is to hire one teacher, try to get anywhere between 40 and 75 students this first year, with the hopes of expanding it to about 80 for this one teacher. Our students and families would then have access to an in-district person to contact if there's trouble. This teacher would also be reaching out to these families, making sure that they're on pace. What questions do they have? Is it going to be a full replacement of a teacher? Absolutely not. Okay, but it will give all of the families and the students somebody to access and somebody to connect with locally that they've never had before. And so homeschool families, as well as those who are open enrolling out of our district to do their education online in formats other than the one we were able to offer. We often get families that either can't get into our online academy because there are space limitations or seat limitations, or they didn't like the format that the Richland Online Academy offered, and they liked a different format, a K-12 or an iReady or an Edmentum or any of these other online platforms that are available, and they wanted those because their child learned better in those situations. Now we would be able to offer that to them. And so in summary, the proposal is to kind of expand and revamp the online academy. It would be available for all students from grades K all the way up to grade 12. We would have a local in-house person that would help facilitate the education or manage the education for the children. The parents would still have to be involved in some capacity. We would want that. But we're hoping that with that one full-time teacher that can help facilitate that, that we're going to get a large number of homeschool families that, that see the benefits of this, a large number of people who are choosing education virtual options elsewhere, that they're going to choose this option as well. And we think in year one, it can be budget neutral. And in years two and beyond, it will be a budget positive. Okay, so it's not going to be a burden on our budget. And we have the ability to meet more students' needs and help educate them in that fashion. So maybe I should take a break there before I go to the last one.
Well, one question, because you had mentioned inquiries from other districts in the area. So what's the status of that? Was that just talks, or is that something that could happen?
Is definitely something that could happen, and it'll definitely happen, we believe, in the future with this last option that we'll talk about.
Okay.
But, you know, any school district, if they can't meet the needs of the student, of a student in their buildings, they're always looking for other options, right? We send students that we can't meet the needs to New Frontier and Prairie, for instance, or Chilita and La Crosse. We just don't have the resources available for some students, and so we send them, we transport them, we have to pay that as a public school, we pay that tuition. But I don't know of any administrator or teacher or school district in the area or even in the state that doesn't truly want to meet the needs of every child, okay? And so while, yes, there's a little bit of a competition for students, right? We all want students to come to our school, and this is the open enrollment period and all of this. In the end, we really just want all students to be educated. And so when other school districts have a child that maybe they can't fit the needs of that child for, and maybe don't have enough of that particular kind of student to start their own program, right? It's not financially feasible to start a program for one student. They may send them to another school district. We do that. Many school districts do that. Instead of those other places being the landing spot, perhaps the Richland School District can be a landing spot for that. So again, very early stages, we don't have any of those students yet attending, but I think just the idea that we're being recognized for some of our innovative thinking is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Education has really changed, hasn't it, Lisa?
Yes, extreme. I mean, I just think of the time that I've been in education from when I started to where I am now as an administrator, just the changes that I have seen over the years. And what Steve was kind of alluding to is, you know, traditional schooling isn't what it was like, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Our kids are coming to us with lots of different skills. You know, we think of technology, it's played a huge part into this. And I have to say I am very pleased and proud of how far, just in my 3 years that I've been here, from administration to our school board to our community, and stepping in and helping and recognizing that times are changing. So what do we need to do to make sure that all of our students are getting an education? Because as Steve was saying, you know, our goal is to educate all. Mm-hmm. And that does look differently. And so it's been neat to be a part of this process to see how things are changing and how the Richland School District is approaching all of that.
Yeah, you're kind of almost like a minor league, getting him ready for high school and you know, and beyond, and life, really, you know. So, yeah. But it's a very important level where you're at, isn't it?
It is. One message I always give the students whenever we kind of have assemblies or I talk with them, I said, you know, your reading, writing, math, all of that's important. But really, by the time you leave our building, I want you to know how to be a good human being, because that's going to get you a long ways in life. And so we really try to stress that, yes, your academics are important, but you still need to know how to be a good person. And so I think part of that also comes with how our kids are learning. You know, we have a lot of kids that are hands-on, they want that project base, or they're really into the technology, and kids are very good with technology. So how can we use that to make sure that they're getting the most from their classes or from their learning? And then we have some of those kids that really just need that sit and get, that more traditional. And so seeing how these different programs have taken root and taken part and taken life in our, not just our building, but in the district, have been great to see. I think of our RC program, so that kind of more one schoolroom building. These kids have been doing amazing. You know, they're showing up to school, they're laughing, they're having fun, they're learning. And sometimes that wasn't always taking place. I was maybe spending a little bit more time with them in classrooms, or just, you know, helping them along, but now they're thriving. And so that's really what we want to see. And so looking at all of these programs that we have, and, you know, we'll know more in the upcoming months of where the board will go with all of this, but hopeful, really hopeful to see.
The RC, that's the school within the school, mm-hmm. and not so much transition as the other students. Then,
yes,
right?
Correct. Yep. So this group of students stay with our teacher all day, Mrs. Schmitz, and she works with them on reading, writing, math, science, social studies. And there's structure within the day of like when they're working on certain subjects, but they are given, you know, they kind of each have their own space or where they sit or how they sit or if they want to stand or if they need to move around. It's just a lot more freedom, and it's in that smaller group setting, which has been really beneficial for these kids. You know, we always talk about relationships and getting to know our students. We've done a lot with that, and that's been a district goal. And we're working to accomplish that and making sure our kids are connecting not just with each other, but also with our staff. And this has been a really nice way to see how that smaller setting and taking that time for these kids is really beneficial. When we started the, you know, RC school, the school within a school, we really looked at, okay, are we going to be targeting behaviors or academics? And for these kids, it was really just those kids that just needed something different. And it's now really working really well. So excited to see how that's going to continue to grow over the upcoming years, and even how that mindset and that mentality and that idea and philosophy can really be used in other classrooms and just in our building and in our other schools. And our other schools within the district as well.
Yeah, good to hear. Steve, the final component that you were going to talk about.
Yeah, so the last one that we're proposing is a little bit more there's a little bit more risk involved from the financial standpoint, but the benefits could be huge as well, not just to the Richland School District and our local community, but really our area. As I mentioned, we have students that we simply can't meet their needs, okay? And so as a result, we have to, with the parents, find an educational setting where they can be successful. Oftentimes, this means that we have to send them to Prairie du Chien at New Frontier or La Crosse in Chelita or Baraboo. Rock Springs has a place called SCAN. And these are places that are educational facilities that can really also help with some behaviors, okay? Volatile behaviors, outbursts, things that we just don't have the capabilities of handling in the school district. In any given year, we can have anywhere from, you know, 1 to 6 of these students that we're sending to other places. When we're sending students to these other places, that student has likely an hour transportation ride to get to that facility. They have an hour transportation ride back. Okay, that shortens their day already, and we're paying anywhere from $60,000 to $75,000 to $85,000 to have another school district educate the child. Now, it's best for the student, okay, because again, we don't have the needs to be able to do that. This idea, Behavioral Academy, there's been some internal talks of maybe calling it Thrive. Lisa mentioned the word that these students are thriving in the RC school, that perhaps this could be the Thrive Academy. Regardless of the name, the focus would be at a relatively young age, K, 5-year-old age, up to maybe grades 4 or 5, possibly even a little bit older than that, to have a facility in our school district that can focus on behavioral. Okay, there's a place in Reedsburg called Motivate, where many of the area counties are sending students from families or children from families. They're not necessarily students, and they really focus on the behavioral aspect of things with data. Okay, they have a behavioral analyst, certified behavioral analyst that's there, and they have behavioral techs, and they're recording data. And their goal is to really try to address the behaviors and prevent and then eliminate those behaviors through positive reinforcement, correction, et cetera. But they're not an educational facility. These other facilities that I mentioned are educational facilities, but they don't really have the data behind changing behaviors into positive behaviors, okay? And so our hope is that this academy can become a merging of those two things, that we can become an academic place recognized by the DPI where we get academics, but we're also focusing on the behaviors and the actions that these students have that prevent them from getting a good education in the traditional setting. And so this would be, again, a very slow growing. We want to make sure that this is something that's done thoughtfully and that every decision is well thought out. The hope next year is that we could have an academy that maybe has as few as 3 students in it. Okay, likely our students and students that we, instead of sending them someplace else and have that expense, we would do that in-house, completely different location, or at least a completely different environment than our traditional setting. Not to say that it can't be within one of the buildings, but certainly not a lot of interaction. We would have to hire a behavioral analyst and a teacher with an alt-ed license that could possibly even be the same person, at least to start off with. And then we would have behavioral techs. Behavioral techs are specially trained support staff aides. Okay, it's more of an hourly position, but they do have very specialized training in how to handle this type of students and how to react when behaviors occur so that we're de-escalating the behaviors and not escalating behaviors. And sometimes just naturally, adults will try to correct a behavior, but they're not doing it in a way that is scientifically proven to be beneficial. Okay. And so these folks would all be trained. And then the goal, and kind of talking about the need for elsewhere in the area, in our research, and again, we've tried to work with these other facilities that I've mentioned, there is up to a year or two waiting list for some of these facilities. And so even if an area school does have a child that they need to be able to educate in a different environment, they might have a two-year waiting list to get into one of these schools, in addition to all of the expenses and travel and all of those things that we have. So the need for something else in our area is clearly there. And I think we would be very, very unique in the merging that we're trying to do between the behavioral analytics part of it and the educational component of it, and have something very unique to our area and something that would be very beneficial. So that in subsequent years, while we may only have one to three students in the Richland School District that would attend this, we would have a place for area schools to be able to transport students. And obviously they would be paying a tuition, but maybe it would still be a cost savings to them. It would be revenue producing for us, so that in subsequent years it could be financially sustainable. And so really, really excited about the possibilities of this. When we think about changing some negative behaviors at a young level, those are really skills that will transform those students for life. And you mentioned the minor leagues, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's not with the high school being the majors. It's life being the majors, right? It's AAA, AA, and trying to get ready for this thing we call life. And having some of these students that come from traumatic experiences in their home life, or families that just have been broken, and there's a lot of disarray in their life, the behaviors become sporadic as well. And if we can correct some of those behaviors at a young age, that sets them up for success academically later on down the road when they get into sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and more importantly, success in life. And that's really the goal of this. Start young and try to really incorporate some support skills in their life. So again, name yet to be determined, a little bit more of a financial impact up front, but the benefits from a societal and school standpoint are just incremental. Exponential, and I think the need for something like this around the area is huge as well. And there's just zero doubt in my mind that this can't be something that can be financially sustainable, and more importantly, hyper successful for these students in these situations.
And if a student is in one of those levels, the alternate education that Steve talked about, it doesn't mean they're going to be there for all 12 grades. It's the whole goal, I'm sure, is to get them maybe into a different level, maybe back in the mainstream classes or whatever the case might be. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be correct. And, you know, we always want our students to be with their peers and learning with their peers and learning right along. But sometimes, you know, I've always gone down or that hole of behavior academics and what do we really need to, you know, help and adapt with first. And it really comes down to behaviors. You know, if students do well when they know how to do well. And so part of that working with them at those younger ages is really teaching them those basic skills of how can we do well and how can we help you. You know, on a daily basis, I'm constantly doing this in our building when it comes down to just behaviors. We're really working on teaching those skills. And so giving those kids the opportunity and so to learn, you know, how to be a good human being and how to behave with your peers. So once they're able to do well, they can. And this would be a great stepping stone for not just our district, but again, surrounding districts. There is a need. I've seen that need firsthand.
Lisa Brown and Steve Board, our guests on the morning show today. We'll be back in just a moment.
New windows add value and comfort to your home. PMI Windows of Lone Rock knows windows. Windows is all they do. PMI will help you custom tailor premium vinyl windows for your home to maximize your heating and cooling savings while giving you the look, feel, and the function you desire, all with the industry's best lifetime, no-nonsense, transferable warranty. Call 583-7200 to schedule your free estimate from PMI Windows of Lone Rock.
In Wisconsin's Supreme Court election, your family's safety is on the line. Just ask retired Wisconsin police officer Mike Walter.
As a police officer trying to put away violent criminals, you deal with two kinds of prosecutors. Guys like Brad Schimmel, who gave big plea deals to rapists, domestic abusers, and even a man caught with child pornography. And someone like Susan Crawford, who made sure rapists, murderers, and abusers were behind bars so victims could get justice.
That's Susan Crawford, the former prosecutor who took violent criminals off our streets and the judge who kept them in jail. Take it from a cop.
When I walk in a courtroom, I want Judge Susan Crawford, and now we need her on the Supreme Court.
The truth is, extreme Brad Schimmel won't keep Wisconsin families safe. We need Susan Crawford, the common sense judge. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay it forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
No matter what you order at A&W, we know one thing. It's just better with an ice-cold, made-fresh A&W root beer in a frosty mug. For the past 100 years, A&W has been making fresh root beer using real cane sugar and a top-secret blend of ingredients. No wonder it's so delicious. Stop by your local A&W for an ice-cold root beer. How's that sound with a Papa Burger? Made fresh root beer always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel.
Life is all about relationships. Shouldn't your insurance be too? At Charles Gokenauer Insurance, they build business one relationship at a time. Finding an agent you know and trust can make all the difference when you have a question or a claim. The Gokenauer Agency is your representative of Mount Morris Mutual Insurance Company, serving Richland Center and the surrounding area. Call the Gokenauer Insurance Agency today to experience fast, friendly service from its local staff for Mount Morris Mutual Insurance Company. They'll be there when you need them the most. Gokenauer Insurance Agency, Richland Center.
Hey folks, John here at Napa, Richland Center in Boscobel. It's perfect time to stock up on filters at unbeatable prices. Whether you need filters for cars, trucks, mowers, industrial equipment, now through March 15th is your chance to save big. We've got great deals on hydraulic oil, greases, and a full line of Milwaukee tools at amazing prices. Stop in today, and as always, we have free popcorn. We appreciate your business and can't wait to see you soon.
Napa know-how.
Whenever you're in Southwest Wisconsin, you're always close to someone who trusts BL Signs. From the van with a standout wrap, to the business sign that greets you before you even step out of the car, or the restaurant sign that makes you hungry the moment you see it, BL Signs is behind it. Known for delivering projects done well, on time and on budget, BL Signs of Richland Center is your trusted source for all your signage needs. Start your next project with BL Signs. Visit them online at blsignage.com.
Welcome back to our morning show visit on WRCO Radio. Superintendent Steve Board is here, and Principal Lisa Brown from Richland Intermediate School. So, Steve, you made the news a few weeks ago with a fire in the concession stand.
We sure did.
Man.
Yeah, we had, unfortunately, had a, a fire that started off in our concession stand down by the athletic fields and baseball fields on that Saturday morning. It started about 4 a.m. But I look at it and I think, and you know, don't get me wrong, a fire is never something that's great to have and have to deal with. But I look at it and, you know, nobody got hurt and everything that's in there is replaceable. And then I just think about all of the things that, how much worse it could have been, right? I mean, we were hosting a WIA wrestling tournament that Saturday, and we knew that there was going to be inclement weather coming in. In fact, had it just been a regular season basketball game or even a regular season wrestling, it probably would have gotten canceled, truthfully, because the impending snowstorm that was coming in. WIA had contacted Laura Selgeby earlier that week and said, wrestling tournaments are going to happen this Saturday, and those that can travel will travel, and those that can't. But it's going to go on, so prepare to go on. So because of that, our maintenance crew got to the school early, you know, right? They would have normally gotten there at 6:30 or 7 to get ready to open up the doors. Instead, they were there at 4 o'clock, Mark Noble, Casey Shannon, because they had to clear some snow. And this fire had started right about that time. Casey Shannon had noticed it, called Brian Jones, called 911. Fire department got there so quickly. I was just so impressed at how quickly at that time of the day they were able to get a full crew there. The fire broke through the roof pretty impressively, as we've watched video footage. We had presented at a board meeting here a couple of weeks ago on the pictures and the video of it, if anybody's interested in that. But broke through pretty quickly, but our fire department got it out quickly. Certainly some damage. There's a lot of damage to the rafters and the roofs. The contents of the east side of that building, one side it was the boys' bathroom, the other side is mostly for storage. A lot of contents were damaged in there. Some of the things in there were track items, starting blocks, things like that. We're working with our insurance company to get those replaced. We had engineers out from the insurance company as well as construction companies this last Monday. Everybody seems to be on the same page with origin and what needs to be replaced. They've not released the full report yet, but I'm sure that will be coming here in the coming weeks. But so we're in the process of repairing now. The downside, again, downside obviously is the fire in general, but likely won't have a concession stand for this spring. So we've got a lot of spring sports that will be starting up here in the next week or so. A lot of spring activities going on. Likely will not be able to do any concessions out of there. We'll be setting up some sort of an alternate concession site for them. We've got porta potties that have been brought in so that our places have a place for students or athletes or the public to use, because the restrooms will be shut down. We're hoping that we can get some running water down there to be able to take care of the fields and things like that. Electricians are hoping that we can get lights back up soon, but we've got to do a full inspection on all of the electrical components. All of the electric in that building run through the rafters of the building, so it's all up above. So we've got to make sure that that's all damaged or not damaged and ready, safe and ready to go. But I've never dealt with a fire before. Brian Jones has been on the fire department and seen the other end, but he said, I've never really dealt with a fire from this end. But everybody's been wonderful. Our insurance company's been wonderful. The construction adjusters, everybody has been wonderful to work with. And again, just very appreciative of how quickly we were able to catch it. Just dumb luck, truthfully, that all of the circumstances around that wrestling tournament and the weather allowed us to have people on site at that time of the morning, because normally we wouldn't have anybody there at 4 o'clock. Another half hour and we would have probably lost most of the building, if not the entire contents of the entire building. So it was held as minimal to damage as possible, but certainly still some significant damage.
A ballast, right, that caused it?
I don't think they've replaced the – originally I think they thought that.
Okay.
They're thinking that it possibly now could have come from a heater that was in there. Certainly no faulty play or anything like that, but I'm curious to see when they release that full report what the actual cause of origin is. But something electrical, we know that, quite certain that it's something electrical, just whether it was ballast or heater or a short or anything like that. I will have to wait until the final report comes out.
Parents in the district, Lisa, should be looking for a survey that's going to be coming up. Is that correct?
Yes. So in our students in grades 6 through 12, we take the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The survey is done every 2 years. It is a survey that, we'll be sending information out to our families about what the questions are and what it's all for. But it's really coming down to asking our students mental health questions, just how they're kind of feeling about things, just to bring forth some mental health awareness, not just for our district, but actually for the state. So this is a state survey that is given, and it's just a data point to kind of help get a better understanding of where we are in our county, but then also where the state is as well. This is a survey that parents can opt their child out of if they choose to, and students who are taking the survey, if they do not feel comfortable answering a question, they don't have to either. So again, we'll be sending more information out, and that survey will be done in the upcoming weeks prior to spring break.
Another exciting thing to look forward to is you have a special walk, run, benefit coming up on Friday. Can
we
you
do.
Tell us about it?
We do. So this is our third annual RCIS 5K. This actually started with our PATT group, so our parents and teachers together, working on just having a fun event. So this actually started when a teacher of ours, their son, passed away, and so we kind of did it in honor of him, and now we've just continued it on. This is free for anybody that wants to participate. It's this Friday at RCIS. Registration is from 5 until 5:30. Our walkers then begin at 5:30, and then our runners begin at 5:45. So we have students and staff that are along our route, cheering everybody on, and it's been a great event to see everybody coming out from the community. You can dress up, you know, in St. Patty's wear. If you registered early, you would have gotten a t-shirt, but you don't need a t-shirt to do the run walk. Again, weather's looking beautiful, so we're thinking the rain should hold off. So we're really hoping to get everyone or as many people there as we can for this event.
Great. This Friday already, then.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of one of the first real signs of spring, I think, on
campus,
right?
It is. And I know we were just talking this week because I think we've had everything from rain and cold and kind of snowy to now this weekend Friday was 70 degrees. So looking forward to it.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just a couple other things on here. I know we have our kindergarten through third grade concert coming up next week as well on the 20th. So parents, be on the lookout for that. And then again, just parents, please be working with your students on just those routines, especially for the Ford exam. We really appreciate any help that you can give us in making those routines and helping with that. And then as a community, thank you for all your support. You know, I really value everything that has come from my 3 years of working here and the support that we have gotten just at RCIS, but also within the district. So thank you to our communities and for supporting us here in the Richland School District.
Those exams, is it kind of what you should have learned this year, or how does it work?
Yep, it's kind of built on that. You know, we look at what our students have learned, but, you know, all learning is always compounded. You know, we learn from the years before. So it's learning as to what we have learned so far as a student. And again, it's really, we let our students know, we just need you to try your best. You know, that day sometimes is not always the best, but just do the best that you can. And based on what you get back, yes, it is important, but that's just a snapshot. So we see lots of those snapshots through various testing, from our iReady testing to Ames Web, which is something we now have to do coming down from the state Act 20. We have to do for our younger grade levels up to third grade. So again, those test scores are just a snapshot. It doesn't give the whole picture of who the child is, but a snapshot of where they're at. And again, a good data point for ourselves in administration, our school district, the school board, and just for us to know how we're doing.
And you have a spring break coming up?
We do. That will be, you know, the end of, I guess, the last first week of April, I guess you could kind of say. So it is a little bit later this year. So again, we hope that our kids are attending school as much as possible, but then also get that reprieve from school as well and get to enjoy some family time, and then also for our teachers to rest and get ready, because April's going to come in hot, and then we're in May and school year's then done. So it does fly, and it's going to be here before we know it.
Steve, some other things to look forward to, the champion games, they'll be up before too long.
Yeah, they sure will. It's May 9th is our champion games, not our champion games, but we have continued to have an increasing number of students that we take to the champion games held in Boscobel each year for students with IEPs are able to participate in this event. Just a shout out to Nikki Tony. I know that there are a lot of people who play a role in this, but Miss Tony has really taken the lead on turning this into just a huge event. Last year, we had 122 students that participated in this. This year, her goal is 150 students that, you know, at one time we were taking, you know, 20, now pushing 150 on May 9th. And so she's just done so much work behind the scenes. Again, so many people have, but she's really taken the lead on that. I know that in the coming days, she will be sending out some information to area businesses if they're interested in helping to sponsor. There's a lot of expenses when it comes to getting all of our students and staff t-shirts, and the travel has increased. We're now taking 3 or 4 buses down to Boscobel, as well as district vehicles for those in wheelchairs, things like that, as well as just water and bottled water to be able to stay hydrated in there. I remember a couple years ago, it was quite warm. And so the need for our students to be able to stay hydrated in those conditions is important. It costs us about $25 to $30 a student when it comes right down to it. And so you start multiplying that by 150 people, and you know the expenses do add up. So any area businesses that are interested in perhaps helping with that cause, they can call our 649 HIVE, H-I-V-E number, choose the high school option, and leave a message with Mrs. Tony, and she will reach back out to them. Again, some mailers will be going out here. And then Nikki will be joining Mrs. Stoltz on the 21st here on the morning show and provide some more details surrounding that. But as most people who've organized any event to know, that in order to have a successful culmination of a big event, there's a lot of work that goes in on the front end. And our public and our area sees all of the great things that our students are doing on May 9th at the Champion Games. And again, credit and a shout out to Boscobel for hosting these, because they're also doing a lot of planning and a lot of things going on right now that most people don't know. For every hour of that event, there are many, many, many hours behind the scenes ahead of that. So she's putting in a lot of that time. I know our staff and are helping out as well. But she'll be talking a little bit more about that in the coming days. But if anybody wants to, you know, donate or help sponsor and help foot the bill for that cost, we would greatly appreciate it. Again, 649 HIVE, H-I-V-E, and then choose the option for the high school and ask for Mrs. Tony.
We're out of time, but I did want to ask you briefly about the campus gym. A lot of people have been talking about that. What's the latest?
Our board has approved the Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, a couple of board meetings ago, and I just met with some folks from the county. It's going to go to the campus reconfiguration committee meeting Tuesday at their meeting, and then subsequently on that same Tuesday night to the county board, and hopefully they'll have full approval for use of the gym. And again, not just for the Richland School District, but as a facility for other entities to be able to use that gym, using the school district's facility use form as a way to reserve and get that space.
Okay, good to know. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Phil.
You bet. Superintendent Steve Board and Lisa Brown, Richland Center Intermediate School principal, on today's morning show.
Is that a new Samsung Galaxy A15 5G?